The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's great. Thank you so much. It's great to be together. A great morning. Great to have Pauline here. I've known Pauline for, she said she's been in ministry 34 years, so I guess a little longer than that. We were in seminary, her husband and I together, and it's just been great to have them, have her with us. It's hard to believe the summer's coming toward an end. I don't know about anybody else here, but I'm ready for it to start. And it's almost over. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this life you've blessed us with. We rejoice in this day that you've made. We thank you for it. We confess that virtually every day, like this one, there's so much to be thankful for, excited about. And there's always, it seems, that bit, sometimes it's a bigger bit than others, where we're looking back and wishing for what was, or looking forward and wishing for something we don't have right now. God, in this moment, this day, help us to look to you. In the situation in which we are living, with all the gifts and blessings we do have, and God, in the midst of all the challenges that we're facing, we pray especially this morning, given that many of us are, it seems, even more aware than usual of the challenges. We pray, God, for this world that we live in, where violence is far too active and evident in Charlottesville and in Barcelona, in Finland, and God, with the tensions in the Korean Peninsula. The tensions, Lord God, right here in our backyards and neighborhoods, here in our own cities. God, help us. Forgive us for our part in these tensions. Forgive us for our part in the violence, Lord, whether it's through the actions that we take or the words that we speak, or sometimes, God, through our lack of speaking up and our lack of action. Forgive us and help us to step forward into life in such a way that we witness to your goodness and to the pathway that you've been teaching us about for thousands of years, your pathway of peace, your pathway of love, your pathway of hope. God, help us. To live this life you've given us this day faithfully and in such a way that we encourage others to walk with us, even through danger, even through trouble, to walk with us, to walk with you in such a way that you are honored in everything we do and everything we say in our every interaction. And God, that your goodness, your justice, your mercy, and your peace is extended to every person. God, help us. Even now, as we turn to your word, give us ears to hear what you long for us to hear. Give us ears to hear that we may take hold of your holy word and live it. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, we've been working our way through 1 Samuel. It's the story of David ascending to the throne. Ever since he was this little boy out in the fields looking after the sheep and was surprised by the call of God in his life to be a leader. If you can relate to that at all, maybe you're finding yourself surprised, especially in the midst of all that's going on. Surprised that God is saying to you, I want you to be a leader. Maybe you've been off in the fields doing your thing, you know, taking care of the sheep, working hard. I want you to hear this word, that God is calling you to be a leader. I think of Jesus looking at the crowds with compassion because they're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They need leadership. And I can't help this summer but think, that's our society. That's our world. We're harassed. We're feeling helpless. We're not sure which way to turn. Some of us know which way to turn. And God help us to turn and to encourage others to walk with us. We're called to be leaders in this world. Not just evangelists in the sense that we're going to tell people how to get to heaven. We're going to encourage people to live today according to the kingdom of heaven. Telling people that the kingdom of heaven is actually breaking in today in this world right now through people like you and me who are willing to follow Jesus on this path of love, of compassion, of justice and mercy. God's kingdom is breaking in. That's the good news. And I want you to hear the word of God, the call of God calling you in your school, in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood here at Salem to be a leader. Don't wait for somebody else to follow Jesus. Don't wait for somebody else to be good and kind and compassionate. Would you lead the way? In today's passage, we have David, who's been ascending toward the throne. He's been going through all kinds of challenges in his life. He's coming to that place just before he's actually going to be taking leadership, increasing leadership of a greater and greater level in Israel. We have this time where before he begins the final ascension to the throne, where he hits his lowest point. And I want you to know, even as I say that, that if you're feeling like you or our society is at a bad point, the lowest point, I got good news for you. Because often in our lives, it's right then and there that we finally, our hearts break, we're open to God's Spirit, we let God speak to us, and that word of God comes in such a way that we're able to bear the fruit Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 4, 30, 60, 100-fold. So if you feel like you're at the low end, if you feel like things aren't going well, if you feel like everything's going wrong, hear the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So open your ears. Open your heart. And see what God might do. In today's passage, we have that happening for David. He's been going through this time where all he's really wanted, like many of us in our lives, in our world, he just wants some security finally. He's been chased by Saul for many years. He's been trying to find some security, some peace, and he's finally at this one point, the several chapters, he's gone to Philistine territory. He's given himself in service to King Achish of the Philistines. He's saying, I'll use the gifts that God's given me for your service. And he goes out and he fights battles on behalf of King Achish. He doesn't fight against the Hebrew people. He tries not to go there. But he is fighting against the enemies of King Achish. And in that sense, he's just strengthening the enemy, the Philistines, who are the biggest enemy of Israel. For the last several chapters, as Pastor John has preached on it, we've seen David going through the season where he's not actually looking to God very much. The last few chapters, God's not even mentioned. David hasn't been inquiring of the Lord. He's just been kind of trying to make things happen in his own strength and in his own way. Makes me think of Jeremiah 17, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength whose hearts turn away from the Lord. David's there. And as this portion, as chapter 29 comes to an end, toward the end of the book of Samuel, King Achish tells David to go back to Ziklag, the city that he's been based in. The other commanders of the Philistines aren't willing to fight alongside David. They're going against the Hebrew people, and they're afraid that David's going to go back to serving King Saul. And so they're not going to go into battle with him. And King Achish says, go on back to Ziklag. If you've ever had this time where you've been going through life and it seems like, you know, things aren't perfect, it's not all that good, I'm not sure I'm really following God the way I should, but at least it's comfortable. Maybe that was David here. It's comfortable. It's not what it should be. It's not. But even that door closes for him. And so David heads back to Ziklag. And if you've ever had that time where a door is closed, the window's closed, everything seems closed, you go back to something else and you think things can't get worse, and they get worse. Well, read on with me. This is chapter 30 as David gets back to Ziklag. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negeb and on Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag, burned it down, and taken captive of the women and all who were in it. Both small and great, they killed none of them, but carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So here we go. Things are bad. The door is closed to him, living, serving the way he had been. He comes back to Ziklag. It's wiped out, burned down. Not only that, but all the people that are taken off into captivity, they're going to be slaves, including two of his wives. Not only that, but now his soldiers who've been following him all these years, who have been supporting him, turn against him. They're ready to stone him. It says, David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him. The word that's used there, this great danger, it's also translated great distress. It's the same word that's used two chapters earlier in chapter 28. When we're talking about Saul, King Saul, the doors are closing for him. He hasn't been following God faithfully. And his kingship is about over. He's desperate. He actually, in his great danger, in his great time of need, turns to a medium. You know, do you ever notice what can happen when you get desperate? How, as Pastor John has been preaching about, we often revert to our old coping mechanisms. We know they're not right, but I'm going to go get another drink. I'm going to go off and do whatever. I know it's not right, but I'm going to lie. Or I'm going to run away from the problem instead of getting some help with it. Saul, his run out of things to do. He's desperate. He turns to a medium. He wants to call up the dead to help him figure out what to do because God's not seeming to do what Saul wants him to do. This medium brings Samuel to him, and it says, Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I am in great distress." That's the same word that is used of David in chapter 30. I'm in great danger. I'm in great distress. Or literally what it means is I'm in a tight place. I'm in a tight spot. I want to just give you a second to think about what do you do when you're in a tight spot? What do you do when you get desperate? And we look at what's happening in our nation right now. We know that for many, what we begin to do when we get in a tight spot is look for somebody to blame. We lash out at others. We try to protect our own and get angry at others. We yell, we scream. What happens? What do you do when you're in a tight spot? When you feel like you're in great danger? Saul turns to a medium. But David, I love this line. David was in great danger, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I want you to say that with me. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Are you in a tight place? Do you feel like we're in a tight place, in a dangerous place? I want you to know that this is the key learning for David in all his ascension to the throne. David strengthens himself in the Lord his God. And so if things aren't going well for you, hear the good news. If it's a reminder to you to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God, then that bad thing actually isn't all that bad. If that challenge drives you to your knees before God, that's not such a bad thing. David strengthens himself in the Lord his God. And I love how this passage continues. It tells us precisely how David goes about strengthening himself in the Lord his God. I'm going to read a couple more verses for you, and we'll look at them for a moment and be able to pick out some specific things that we can do in our lives when we're in a tight spot and when things are going well so that we stay strong in the Lord. Verse 7. David said to the priest Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. I want you to know an ephod is this covering, our choir wears. If you ever go in there, when they're singing together, they often wear something that kind of hangs over the front and hangs over the back. That's an ephod, basically. And it was something you might put on specifically to come humbly before God in prayer. We have other patterns that we might follow today. You might not have an ephod. Anybody here have an ephod? But what you might do is light a candle just to kind of set apart, this is a holy moment, I'm coming before God. Or you have a place where you go, if you can, to be still before God. Maybe you go to the sanctuary. You get the idea. Bring me the ephod, he says to the priest. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord. I love, Pastor John has mentioned this several times recently, of how every time we see David, we're told he inquires of the Lord, things go in a really good way. The last few chapters, we haven't heard that. Things haven't been going all that well for him. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out. So let's look at that for just a moment. What does David do to strengthen himself in the Lord our God? And what can we do to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God? The first thing he does, and this is the first thing for us to do every morning when we get up, every night when we go to bed, and especially every time we're facing danger, we're facing distress, we're facing trouble, look to the Lord. Turn your attention to God. Make that your default practice in your lives. That's why one of the reasons it's so important for us to practice prayer every day. One of the reasons I long for our children to learn to pray in the morning, to pray in the evening, to pray around the dinner table. We want it to be second nature, first nature, for us to look to the Lord. Think of Peter out there on the water. Remember the story? He gets out of the boat. He's walking along on the water. And as long as he's looking to Jesus, he's walking on the water. But when he begins to focus his attention on the wind and the waves, the circumstances, it's ridiculous. There's no way I can do this. And he begins to sink. For us too, the first thing, the ongoing thing we need to do to be strong in the Lord is to keep looking to the Lord. And when you find your attention is turned away, which does happen, look to the Lord. Second thing that he does is he asks of the Lord. He inquires of the Lord. How important for us to ask God for what we need. I mean, it's okay to ask for what we want. You know, Lord, I really like that parking spot. But how much better for us to ask the Lord for what we really need. Not just to get what we want over here, but for the wisdom to get what God wants for us, wherever that might be. James 1 tells us, if any of you is lacking wisdom, ask for it. And don't ask as somebody who doesn't believe God will give it to you. Ask with faith, and God will give you the wisdom that you need. Just ask. Are you wondering where to go to college? Are you wondering what job to pursue? Are you wondering whether to say no or whether to say yes? Are you wondering? Ask God for wisdom, for guidance. Trust that he'll guide you. And then the third thing is to listen for what God has to say. Take the time to listen. I mean, we see this in our relationships with one another, don't we? Often where we kind of talk to each other, but we don't listen to each other. And it never happens in my family, but maybe in yours it does. You know, we're trying to say something, like child is trying to say something to me, and I'm like, I know what they're going to say, or vice versa. And we need to stop and give each other the respect to listen. Can you do that with God? Should you? Would you? Will you? To take the time to listen for the word of God, to imagine that God really does speak to his people still today, to open up the scriptures and to read them and to ask God to speak to you as you read, to gather with other brothers and sisters and pray together as you're seeking God's leading, and together with the help of others, listen for what God is saying. To be still and know who God is, to be still and listen. And I think of what Jesus says. It's throughout the Gospels. Mark chapter 4, a great example. He says, let anyone with ears to hear. Listen. Let's try that. Let anyone with ears to hear. Listen. And those who do, he says, you'll bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Wouldn't you like to see that in our society today? Wouldn't you like to see that in our church today? Let anyone with ears to hear. Listen. And then the fourth thing that he does is he obeys. Okay, you listened? Let's step out there. It says David set out. It reminds me of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God says, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. He doesn't know. Abraham doesn't know where this land is. But it says Abraham went. He set out. David's just like that here. He's setting out. He doesn't know where the Amalekites are. He's going out into who knows where against who knows how many people. He's got 600 men against who knows how many Amalekites. How can he win this battle? How can he even find them? The story plays out. I love it. He sets out, and pretty quickly, out in the middle of nowhere, they find this young man who's half dead. They give him some water out in the wilderness, some food. And as the man comes back to life again, they ask him, well, who are you? Where are you from? And the man says, I'm an Egyptian. I was a slave to the Amalekites. But I got sick, and so they left me here to die. David says, well, would you show us where the Amalekites are? And the man says, if you promise not to kill me or hand me back to the Amalekites. David says, sure. David couldn't have seen that coming. He couldn't have seen that if he took that first step of stepping out, that there'd be this other step that would show him the next step. I mean, that's the way this journey of faith is. God never says, take your step of faith and it's all over. It's all easy riding from here. He says, it's a walk of faith every day of this life. Join me. Trust me. Walk with me. David walks, he sets out, and he's successful. And as he's successful, there are two more things that I want to point out that help in two ways. One, it helps him to continue to be strong in the Lord. Now, I want us to look at this because it helps us to stay strong in the Lord. It also, this would be the evidence that we are strong in the Lord. Listen to what we read in chapter 30. I'll begin in verse 21. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David. By the way, as they went off into the wilderness, some of his 600 men they just couldn't do it. And so they stayed behind with the bags in this place called Wadi Besor. They'd been too exhausted to follow. They went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. When David drew near to the people, he saluted them. Then all the corrupt and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may take his wife and children and leave. But David said, you shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and handed over to us the raiding party that attacked us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For the share of the one who goes down into battle shall be the same as the share of the one who stays by the baggage. They shall all share alike. This is novel. This is game-changing. Up to this point in the ancient world, including in Israel, if you're the warrior, if you won the battle, you get the spoils. You don't have to share. And we hear that in today's world too. I did the work, I get to keep the stuff. David has a different take on this. And the first thing we see at the center of David's take on this is that David is grateful. He's filled with gratitude as he wins this battle. Did you hear that line? He has preserved us and handed over to us the raiding party that attacked us. God has done this. This is very different than the way everybody else is looking at it. Back a few verses earlier, I want you to count with me how many times it's mentioned that David is the one. He seems to be the one who wins this battle. David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not one of them escaped except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back everything. David also captured all the flocks and herds which were driven ahead of the other cattle. People said, this is David's spoil. He did it. He owns it all. He's the victor. And David said, no. God has given this to us. I want you to breathe that in for a minute. We talk so much about pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, about doing it all ourselves. We talk so much about, you know, I've worked hard for this. Well, I want to tell you, I do work hard. But I'm only here because some people helped some of my family members generations ago survive. I'm only here because my father was fortunate enough to get a great education through the GI Bill and through the government helping him. I'm here because there were teachers who gave me a great education, people who supported education in the community. I'm here because there were people who cared about me, including here today. I didn't make all this happen. I'm thankful to God for each and every person and opportunity I've been given. And I know that there are many who haven't had the opportunities that I do. And I long for them to have opportunity too. I mean, take a look at this. Which one of you decided back in your mom's womb that I want this miracle to happen? Which one of you decided that the earth should be tilted just the right amount? Or that we should be just the right distance from the sun? Or that we should be just in the right place in our galaxy so that we could be alive today? Which one of you? Not one of us deserves to be here today, and yet God has blessed us. We're here. It's a gift. It's all a gift. Every good thing is a gift from heaven above. And may we live with that attitude of gratitude. May we be thankful every single day. May we practice being thankful every single moment of our lives in the midst of even the most challenging and difficult situations in our lives. That's how we stay strong in the Lord. That's how we can tell that we are strong in the Lord. It's when we see that it's the Lord upon whom we depend, and it's the Lord to whom we offer our gratitude and praise. And that gratitude and praise will overflow in our lives the same way it does for David, through his generosity and through ours. As we share the resources and the opportunities and the blessings that God has given us with others, we don't cling to them. We don't try to keep them away from others. We try to share them. The share of the one who goes down into the battle should be the same as the share of the one who stays by the baggage. They shall all share alike. From that day forward, he made it a statute, a law, and an ordinance for Israel. It continues to the present day. And I love how the passage goes on. When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends. So he didn't even just give it to the other 200, but he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here is a present from you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." It was for those in Bethel and Ramoth of the Negeb and Jatir and Aror and Siphmoth and Eshtemoah and Rakal and the towns of the Jerahmeelites and the towns of the Kenites and Hormah and Barashan and Atok and Hebron, all the places where David and his men roamed. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, you're going to see it in our generosity. And not only that, but it'll be through our thankful and generous spirit and activity that we will stay strong in the Lord. For David, when he forgets that all this belongs to the Lord, when he's walking up there on the king's rooftop, and he looks and surveys his lands, and he sees Bathsheba over there, and he's not thinking all this belongs to the Lord, but it belongs to me. He's not strong in the Lord. And he falls hard and far. God, help us to be strong in the Lord. And would you help me be strong in the Lord? I want to help you be strong in the Lord. I want this. I long for this for us. That we would practice looking to the Lord, asking of the Lord, listening to the Lord, obeying the Lord. And that we would practice being thankful and generous. This is the path. This is the way. Can you imagine what our church, what our community, what our neighborhood, our world would look like if those who follow Jesus would walk with him on this water and trust that he will see us through? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for calling us together on this day in August. This day in the year of 2017. This day in the midst of the troubles of our world and in the challenges in our own personal lives. We look to you. And by your grace, we set out with you to walk by faith, trusting that you who have led us this far will lead us all the way. We pray with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.